A reading and reflection from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 19, verses 23 through 30. Jesus said to his disciples, "Amen, I say to you, it will be hard for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and said, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For men, this is impossible. But for God, all things are possible." Then Peter said to him in reply, "We have given up everything and followed you. What will there be for us?" Jesus said to them, "Amen, I say to you, that you who have followed me in the new age, when the Son of Man is seated on his throne of glory, will yourselves sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has given up houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for the sake of my name will receive 100 times more and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." Many have wondered why it's nearly impossible for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God, as Jesus says here. The answer is not complex. It's revealed in another gospel passage where Jesus speaks to the rich young man and speaks to him of what it is that he must do to be saved. This young man asks that to Jesus, and Jesus gives him a list of things that he knows he already did. And the young man said, "Well, I've done these things," which were many good things. Jesus says, "Sell all that you have and follow me." And the young man went away sad. Why is this? It's not complicated. It's because the young man loved his possessions more than he loved God, even though he had made some progress in the kingdom and in holiness. In the end, his attachments to things, money and the things that money can buy, kept him from giving himself wholly to God, and in that passage then went away sad, went away in desolation. And the implication is that he wasn't saved, or that he wouldn't be saved. The answer in detail to this problem of attachment is given by the greatest spiritual doctor in the church, St. John of the Cross. In his great work, The Ascent of Mount Carmel, Book 1, Chapter 13, he says that we must renounce and remain empty of any sensory satisfaction that is not purely for the honor and glory of God. He goes on, "Do this out of love for Jesus. In his life, he had no other gratification, nor desired any other than the fulfillment of his Father's will, which he called his meat and food." What are our sensory satisfactions? What are the things that we are attached to? Things that we hear, things that we see, things that we touch, things that we taste, things that we feel, things that we think of. Anytime that any of those things occupy space in our hearts and minds, they violate what Jesus identified as the greatest commandments. What did he say? He said the greatest commandments are to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. He didn't say to have a general love for God. He didn't say to love God in certain just limited specific ways. He said all your heart, mind, soul, strength. John of the Cross answers the question, what does that mean? And it means that any of our passions, anything that occupies our heart and mind, that we're not willing to give up instinctively without a thought, that we're not willing to give away freely without any hesitation, that thing is an attachment. It owns us. John of the Cross also reveals that the only power and temptation that the devil has is with our attachments. He can only tempt us to something that we desire. And if we only desire God, then there is no more possibility of temptation. And so, if we desire all that God has, we must, piece by piece, inch by inch, shed all of those things that we hold on to, loves of created things. We may or may not keep them or give them away. Most of the time, saints give them away or give away huge portions. But whether or not we keep them or give them away, it doesn't matter to us. If we have wealth, it doesn't matter. We don't spend our lives tuning the environment to perfection, the exact right taste, temperature, feel, look. Instead, we spend our lives giving our heart and mind to God and to those who have need. If we have no heart for the poor or those who seek God and have no means to do so, that's an indication of a disordered heart and attachment. So being wealthy in and of itself, of course, is not a sin. Jesus didn't say money is the root of all evil. He said that the love of money is the root of all evil. When we're given great wealth and means in life, the purpose God has given it to us, the reason why he's given it to us, is to be an instrument to advance his kingdom. When we do that, when we hold on to all things loosely and recognize that we're merely a conduit, then the eye of the needle grows wider and bigger and the camel shrinks. And the kingdom of God is not far from us.